Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we celebrate the feast of Saint Augustine, and he's a Chinese martyr. His last name, I believe, is Zhao Rong, but I apologize to the Chinese if I am mispronouncing. But Saint Augustine and all of his companions, there were a group of 120 of them. It included 33 European missionaries and 87 Chinese, ranging in age from 9 to 76 years of age. And their collective witness, Magnificat magazine tells us, over three centuries, is one of great courage and joy amid cruel tortures. 14-year-old Anna Wang, and I learned about her through Pope John Paul. She was 14 years old, and she was the last of a group of women and children to be cut down by nationalist rebels, the Boxers, on July 22, 1900. 14 years old, and they asked her to recant, and she said, "I can't, I love him." 14. I wonder if I could have done that. Magnificat magazine says, smiling, she faced the rebels. And she said, "The door of heaven is open to all. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And she died. 14 years old. That's faith. That's faith. Where are we? I don't know about you, but I can easily say, "Oh, I don't know. That took great courage." But most of all, it took great love. And reliance upon God, reliance upon what he had taught. She accepted it. She embraced it. Have we? Or is our Christianity kind of a sideline? You know, I mean, we're on the road and we say we're Christian, and we actually are in some ways Christian, but we stay along the edges. We don't get right into the thick of the traffic. We stay on the edge. Brothers and sisters, let's ask God for an increase of faith. We badly need it. The first reading today is taken from the prophet Hosea, chapter 2, basically verses 16 to 22. "Thus says the Lord, I will allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak to her heart. She shall respond there as in the days of her youth, when she came up from the land of Egypt. On that day, says the Lord, she shall call me my husband, and never again my Baal. I will espouse you to me forever. I will espouse you in right and in justice, in love and in mercy. I will espouse you in fidelity, and you shall know the Lord." This is a beautiful passage from the prophet Hosea, a beautiful passage where the Lord longs to draw us to himself, that enabled a 14-year-old child to say that she chose life with God over life here. Have you allowed the Lord to draw you to himself? You can't make that happen. You can say to the Lord, "Lord, I love you and I want to love you more. Will you help me?" Just say that to him. That's simple. Every day, men and women. And God, in his own inimitable way, will reveal himself to you. If you mean it, if you sincerely are seeking to be free of sin, if you're repenting when you fail, if you're seeking to know him more, he will come to you. He will reveal himself to you. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It might be that he reveals himself through an article in a magazine or a book, or it could come through music, or it could come through the quiet of your heart. You be faithful to him, and he will in turn be faithful to you. Psalm 145 tells us, "The Lord is gracious and merciful. Every day will I bless you. I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, highly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. Generation after generation praises your works and proclaims your might. They speak of the splendor of your glorious majesty and tell of your wondrous gifts. They discourse of the power of your terrible deeds and declare your greatness. They publish the fame of your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your justice. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works." Make one of those psalms yours. You could use Psalm 145. Pray Psalm 51 that calls you to repent of your sin. But look at the psalms. Find the ones that praise him, that worship him. Repent of your sin and then enter into a time of worship using the psalms. Open your heart to him. He waits for you. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. While Jesus was speaking, an official came forward, knelt down before him, and said, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live." Look at that faith. An official, government official. "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her, and she will live." Parents, we are desperate when our children are severely hurt. We're desperate. So this man, who is an official of some kind, but not necessarily a believer in God, Jesus rose and followed him, and so did his disciples. A woman suffering hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the tassel on his cloak. She said to herself, "If only I can touch his cloak, I shall be cured." Look at that faith. And Jesus turned around and saw her and said, "Courage, daughter, your faith has saved you." And from that hour, the woman was cured. It's not the kind of faith you rev up within you so you say all the right words. It's not that at all. It's, do you believe in the Father's love for you? Do you believe that he knows you through and through? Do you believe that he cares about you? Bring him everything. Many times he works through human beings to help us, but take everything to God. He's the source. He's the Father. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the one who makes us whole. Whatever he uses, medicine or other people, whatever the circumstances might be, he uses other people to help us. But go to him and ask him and thank him when you receive help. We're not very good at gratitude. None of us. Thank him. Thank you that the day went well today. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather. Thank you that I was able to have that conversation I dreaded. Thank you that you resolved this situation. Thank him, because he's at the source of it all. Thank the people involved, absolutely. But always remember to thank him. When Jesus arrived at the official's house and saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, so he sees they're all mourning. You know, she's dead. They're all mourning. He says, "Go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. See, if there's no faith, you're not even open to the possibility. How much faith do we have? Think about that. I'm not saying that you just say, okay, God, heal that person, and you snap your finger and God heals that person. That's not it. God is seeking to draw us close to him. He heals. He works through other people. He works through situations most of the time. But he directly knows what you need. He directly is providing for you through the circumstances of life, and sometimes very directly, that it is sometimes as though you can see the very hand of God reaching out to you when some prayers are answered. He does it in a variety of ways, but what he looks for is the commitment of our own heart to say, Lord, if we have an injury, of course you go to the doctor. Of course. But in that process, say, Lord, heal this or heal it through this doctor. Really. Doctors who have faith are really touched when you acknowledge his skill and his blessing and say, I know it came from God, but God worked through you. Thank you. Many are touched by that. How do you honestly believe that God is the source of all that is good? Do you believe that? Do you believe that he wants to see you, most of all, find him and know his love and seek to follow him? That's what God is after in every one of our lives. And we all have ideas of, well, God answered this prayer or that prayer or the other prayer. And God knows what will most lead us into union with him. And so he says yes to some things and no to others. It's not because he doesn't hear your prayer. It's not because he doesn't love you or he doesn't care. That's not it. He knows what will lead you to eternal life with him. And you want to have the same priorities that he has. When you do that, there is an intimacy with God that he gives you. So Jesus heals this woman. And from that hour, the woman was cured. And then when Jesus arrived at the official's house and he saw the flute players and the crowd who were making a commotion, he said, go away. The girl is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Why? Because they're making decisions based simply on the senses, what they see, what they hear, what they touch, what they taste, whatever. They're making decisions just based on that. They're not making decisions, or they're not looking with the eyes of faith at a situation. So they ridiculed him. And when the crowd was put out, he came and took her by the hand. And the little girl arose. And news of this spread throughout all that land. There are many little miracles that go on in our lives, even today. There really are. A few of eyes to see and ears to hear. And sometimes they're big miracles. Sometimes even the world acknowledges them. Can't figure out how this happened, but it surely did happen. But there are those of us who are true Christian, truly Catholic. Do we acknowledge the hand of God and the work of God? Do we put our trust in him? Or do we, as I said on an earlier program, simply make our decisions based on external circumstances? Do we take situations to the Lord and ask for his wisdom, his guidance? The Lord desires to work through all of us. May you know his love and be blessed. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.